Dish Nation.
Welcome to Dish Nation.
Hey. What's up, y'all?
Hey.
That's right, y'all. Today is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day, a day to remember Dr. King's dream and also that the work he started is still unfinished. The Black Lives Matter movement is an example of that, okay? So today, go out into the community and make a difference, y'all, to keep his dream alive, keep hope alive, and all that.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Brad. Now, the Dish fam is all here, and Heidi and Frank will join us in a bit, and Dionne Warwick has sparked a Dish debate you don't want to miss, and it is all about using the A word, auntie.
Okay. Lord. Hey, and Sherry, not for nothing, the streets are talking. I don't know what you did to make Sheila E. flip a wig, but we need answers. But first, what you got going on, Brat?
Well, y'all, the Grammys are coming up, and most artists really, really want to win one, but that's not the case for our girl, SZA. Okay, the singer's been nominated for 9 Grammys without winning one. But guess what, y'all? She is unbothered. She said, I never had dreams of being nominated for a Grammy. Once you've been nominated and lost, you're very much free because you're not concerned. She said, I passed that threshold years ago. Why would I be mad?
Okay. Go ahead, SZA. I love it, baby.
You know, Brad, the streets love you.
You know, being in the music industry yourself and award winning and just like you're amazing. Is this a weird kind of attitude to have, or do you always want that elusive Grammy?
Well, if you have your hopes up or have always dreamed of getting one, then I guess you would want one. But once you've been nominated 2, 3, 4 times, I think I've been nominated 3 times, and you don't win, it's like as long as you still succeed and successful and making good music and you happy, then the rest of that don't matter. You get used to just moving on.
So, Brett, does it make a difference, though, if you're a multiple Grammy winner? Does it help you in any way if it's like, you know, Brett has won 5 Grammys over the period of 6 years? Does that elevate you in any?
Yeah, it looks good on the resume. That's why some people say, oh, been nominated 10 times for a Grammy or 9 times for a Grammy. It looks good on the resume. Grammy award winning artist, so-and-so, so-and-so. Like, you know, like if you win an Oscar, it's Oscar award winning actress.
Right.
You know, it just makes your title look more grand, darling.
Whatever.
Okay, got you.
But Brett, how many dishes have you won? The dishy is the award that really counts, okay?
That's it.
And I think you've won at least 4 or 5 of those, so we're good.
I ain't got no dish award. Where am I?
You ain't got no dishy?
Yes, you did.
We've never given the Brett a dishy. Yeah, we did give Brett the
fire went
dishy
up on the 3D printer right away.
I don't see no, in my glass panel, I don't see no dish award, okay? I need a statue. Okay.
Yeah, we fell short in the budget. We fell short in the budget, Brad, but you didn't want some.
No.
We ain't got it made yet.
Get it to you right away.
Now,
Bridget Jones's Diary is one of the most beloved movies of the last 20 years.
Yes.
It spawned 2 sequels. But Renee Zellweger didn't quite nail the accent right away. Now, according to her co-star Hugh Grant, Renee came in sounding like Princess Margaret. Now, he said she was told to loosen it up a bit. Then she came in and it was Princess Margaret having a stroke.
Oh.
But a week later, it was bang on.
I love that.
Check this out. Hugh Grant is not friends with most of his female co-stars, with the exception of Renee.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Now, Gary, I know you're dying to show us how it should be done.
Oh,
how do you think, you know, Hugh Grant said it?
Okay, he said it like this, hey, Craig. I love Renee. She's one of the few actresses I haven't fallen out with. We still exchange long emails.
Oh, yay.
Okay. Get this man a Dishy Award, too.
Yeah.
That is going to get a couple Dishy Awards right there, yeah.
Now, Chewy, historically, you think the fact that Hugh Grant doesn't stay friends with his female co-stars because he kind of has a reputation of being a player back in the day?
You know what? I think it's the other way around. I think it's his female co-stars who are like, you know what? You're a pig. I don't want to be friends with you. I'm going to make this movie, make my money, and be out. I think Hugh wants to be friends with everybody, but these women aren't going to have it because he's a pig and an own pig.
They have their guards up. Yeah, for sure.
Nobody wants to be friends with you. Come on, man. Especially women. Not happening.
Divine Brown.
You got busted with a whole prostitute out here.
You think that happened before he picked up the prostitute? Divine Brown?
Definitely after.
Seems like Dionne Warwick has become the queen of social media lately. I love it. And some posts on her Twitter page inspired us to do a dish debate. Okay. All right. Now, Miss Dion refers to herself as auntie, as a lot of people do. It is a sign of respect for your elders. But when a white follower did it, it set off Black Twitter like y'all wouldn't believe. One person tweeted, "This is really disturbing, seeing a white man call a Black woman auntie. Black women are not your mammy or your aunties. Only Black people can say that to each other." Well, you know, please don't do this to Miss Dion, because she replied, "This was unnecessary. He was not disrespectful. He can call me auntie if he wants to."
So the question that's what I'm talking about.
That was nice of her.
This is the question that I put out to all of y'all. What do y'all think? Is it okay for white people to call Black women auntie, or should only Black people say it? What say y'all?
Oh, man, the one time I need Frank here. Damn, I need a white man here.
The problem is, I think, because we all know, and I'm talking about Black, brown people, we all know the significance of calling a woman auntie. It means wisdom. It means, you know, you come with the breadth of knowledge. And so I don't think that the person meant anything, but I think when you start using terminology that Black people use, it probably would behoove you to know why you're using it. Because I don't mind being an auntie.
I didn't even know that, Sherry. I just thought auntie because that's my mama's sister, so we call her auntie. I didn't know it had a significance to it, so that's new to me.
Now, this poor white person, if they walked up to Gail and Oprah, they thinking it's okay to call Dion auntie. Now you walk up to Oprah and go, "Hey, auntie," now you're going to get in trouble. So
they're going to break them like bread.
Right.
Like bread.
All right, well, legendary drummer and singer my tia Sheila E. was recently serving up a different look on her YouTube talk show. She usually wears her hair kind of long and straight. Well, our girl Sherry and her partner in laughs, Kim Whitley, asked her about her curly hairstyle, and Sheila flipped her wig. Literally. OMG, check this out.
We've been on Sheila a long time.
What?
Your hair.
I told her it's not a
true,
hair.
It but looks it's good different.
She because,
no, that my hair is naturally curly like this.
For real?
I don't think I've ever seen
it.
My mom is Creole. My dad is Mexican. But I don't have to do it.
Don't do that. You can't. You got to tell people you about to take off your hair.
Yo, Sherry, were you really surprised that she ditched her wig on camera? Like, wow, I couldn't believe it.
Chewy, I thought that curly hair was her Boricua coming out. When she took that wig off, I literally almost fell off the couch to see Sheila E. I thought that was her curly hair, but she know how to wear some wigs. Her and Prince been together for a long time, so she got some tricks up her sleeve. Sheila E. is
the best. Sherry, would you ever take off your wig in public, girl?
Not unless I heard them three words, "I love you." I'll put it on the nightstand, but it ain't coming off in public.
$1 million.
$1 million. Take your wig off?
Or if I'm about to fight. Only if I'm about to fight. Up next, legendary supermodel Iman isn't looking for a modern love anymore. We'll explain after the break.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
Welcome back!
Woo! Hey, hey!
Woo! Hey, honey!
All right, I want to talk about... hey, Sherry. Hey, Chewy. You know, I want to talk about Iman. Now, if you were thinking in your head you had a shot, you would love to perhaps one day marry supermodel Iman. You're going to have to think again, because she said she will never get married again. And this is, of course, after her late husband, David Bowie, died back in 2016. Yeah. She said that... he was the true love of her life. She was talking to Harper's Bazaar UK, and she said that David Bowie was her one and only true love.
Wow.
While admitting she does get lonely. When I think about that, I think that must have been some just majorly magical love. And that she's like, I'm not doing anything after him. Why bother? When I've heard it with the bars up here, I'm not going to marry anybody ever again. Sherry, Iman, 65 years old, you'd never know it.
Jeez.
And still, obviously still beautiful and sexy. Do you think, Sherry, that she should reconsider? Like, leave the option open. You never know who you might meet in the countryside.
That's the part that she didn't tell us about. That's the part that's none of our business. Because I think that if Iman met somebody, and like a companion, I don't think she'd have a problem with it. But it's kind of hard, you know, if you got the love of your life, where do you go from there?
Do you think, Frank, if you died, I mean, God forbid.
I know.
Do you think, because I know that if you died, I would not do a radio show with another man.
Well, you couldn't.
You can do a radio show with me.
Oh, hell yeah, Chewy, there you go. I'm remarrying, baby.
Yeah, me and Heidi be fine. We'll be
Thank
great.
You, baby.
I'm going to haunt you, mother. Your headphones are never going to work. They're never going to have, like, what? That must have ghost from a machine. I'm over there going, all right, moving on. Yeah, it seems Nicholas Hoult can't keep his giggles to himself while he's filming sex scenes with Elle Fanning. Yeah, I guess they have this Hulu new series called The Great, and he told the New York Times, "Those scenes are the hardest not to laugh in. I get the giggles, having the physical comedy on top of the weird conversations, but even though everyone wants to talk about the sex scenes, and there are a few, they're always undercut. The main focus of them is unromantic."
I do. I mean, I've been watching shows recently where you see hardcore hot sex.
Bridgerton.
And Bridgerton.
I know, and it's amazing, but you just know there's a room full of guys, grips, camera guys, lighting, that you're, and everyone's right there. So it's as sexy as it is to watch, you know that has to be awful.
I've been on closed sets before where there's a sex scene, and it's just the director, the DP, the script supervisor, and that's it.
That sounds like a porn scene.
Yeah. It was.
When women do sex scenes on TV or film, they like to schedule them early in the morning when they're feeling their freshest, because you get all sweaty. It's just like, it, you know, after a long day of filming.
Yeah.
But no matter what time of day it is, Sherry, would you be offended if the person you're doing a sex scene with is giggling and laughing through it?
You know, I wouldn't be offended because I would be the one giggling and laughing.
That is church giggles times 10. Yeah, where you're like, okay.
Like,
okay,
oh my God, you want to do what with your tongue?
Let's find out what Viola Davis says she does to keep her marriage alive and spicy. But first, before the break, Headcrack has something for all of you to keep you looking healthy and good for the new year. What's up, Headcrack?
Dish Nation.
So, guys, after 17 years of marriage, Viola Davis and her husband Julius Tenen are still keeping things wet and sexy. I love this.
Hey.
Viola recently revealed that she and her husband bond by bathing, not once, but twice a day together. Viola Davis said, "We have together time every single morning when we get into the jacuzzi, and we have together time every night because we get into the tub together and we soak in the tub and we talk." She also said while bathing, they give each other facials, and sometimes her husband falls asleep with his mouth wide open.
Well, usually when me and my wife give each other facials, that's why we get into the shower or the tub after.
Wait a minute, I just got the joke.
My God.
Most of us have a bathtub where it's big enough for one of us. If I'm sitting in the bathtub, that means my feet gotta be up, I'm cold. Like, I can't get between
you. Somebody's cold,
once, but twice a day, that's a lot.
Well, I'm gonna go with, this is a wealthy people problems because you got a big giant tub. I'm sure they have a nice tub. Frank was doing this in an apartment tub.
Yeah, it was an apartment
tub. Two people are trying to take the apartment tub where it's a tub shower combination and it's narrow and it's not that long and you're like, this sucks. It's not romantic.
That's why I'm not romantic anymore.
I have a pretty big tub at the house, but I always do this with my lady in hotels because hotels tend to have really big tubs with the jets everywhere. And the jets can hit certain places, you know what I'm saying? So it gets really popping in those tubs, you know? Gotta have the jets.
Right place, and she doesn't need you, Chewy. She's like, oh, I'm good, I'm done.
Yeah. All right, moving on. So Katy Perry just admitted that she faked it until she made it during an Instagram live chat with Zooey Deschanel. Yeah, Katy confessed to pretending to be Zooey to get into club,
in the day, before she's famous.
Before becoming famous. Check this out.
When I first got to LA, I went to the club a lot, and I wanted to get into the club, and I had no money. And I had no clout, I had nothing, and sometimes I would pose as you to get into the club.
Now, Katy went on to apologize to Zooey because she said she was a wild child into clubs. Scale of 1 to 10, she's an 11. And she didn't want to misrepresent her.
I wonder how many rumors went around about Zooey Deschanel making out with girls on a dance floor. Because that's what must have what happened when Katy Perry, because that's where she got the idea of, I kissed a girl and I liked it. She was out at the clubs.
Yeah.
So I saw Zooey Deschanel.
Do you think Orlando Bloom and Russell Brand actually thought they were with Zooey Deschanel? think that was a little bit of a role play.
Now, Sherry, I know you've got some good old Hollywood stories. How did you fake it until you make it, made Girl, it at a Hollywood party? You Has know what happened to you, Sherry?
Yes, Heidi. I would go in the clubs, and when they would stop me, I'd go, I'm Oprah Winfrey, and I'm just researching for my show. And they let me right in, girl.
Wow!
Wow!
They you're sure getting it. In, and you're getting in.
Wow. Come on, you're getting in.
Next, we're going to reveal America's most likable person. And no, it's not Tom Hanks or Oprah Winfrey. OMG. We'll give you the answer after the break.
So, y'all, Dwayne The Rock Johnson has played a few kick-ass movie roles and can break a gate open with his bare hands. But according to an article written by The Profile, he's the most likable person in the world. Hmm. Dwayne shared this photo on his IG with the caption, and I'll summarize, from being called a big complicated at 15 years old to now being called the most likable person in the world, hey, I made a little progress. And to add to his kindness, Dwayne, y'all, not too long ago bought his childhood friend Bruno, who took him in twice when he was a teen and struggling wrestler, a new $30,000 truck. Okay, Dwayne.
All right, that's nice.
Mike is messing it up for everybody with a childhood friend, because my girlfriend saw this, and she was like, can you buy me a Mercedes? I'm not The Rock, okay?
But
I think this is why people like The Rock, because he's so authentic and he does stuff like this. You know, it was from his heart, ripping his gate off so he could go to work so people could get paid.
And speaking about the car now, Gary, being that Bruno did help The Rock back in the days, the gift of a $30,000 vehicle, do you feel like that met your standards? Because I know you judge everything.
I do, right here, Craig. Thank you. That's a damn cheapskate. The Rock is a cheapskate.
What?
Wait, listen to this. You're going to buy this man a $30,000 truck, and this man then moved you in his house twice, but you wasn't making it like the money you make now, and then you gonna announce how much the truck cost? He could have bought that man a Range Rover or something, not no $30,000 truck.
They didn't say The Rock said that's how much it cost. They didn't say he said that.
Isn't it the thought that counts? Come on,
remind
y'all.
Me to Damn. Never buy you Gary else ever in life. Gary, I bet when I bought you that Gucci bracelet, you took your ass to the Gucci store to see how much I paid for it,
Well, I just wanted to know, Brad. I just did.
See, you can't do that. That ain't right. Oh, my God.
Thanks for checking out Dish Nation on Audio Boom. Make sure you listen to any episodes you may have missed. They're right down below, or maybe they're over there. Just scroll up. Look, you'll find it. If you like what you heard, share it with your friends. Even share it with your enemies. Either way, share it.